Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. While we continue our very thorough and extensive, yet very important study of the seven feasts of Israel, or as the Lord calls them in Leviticus 23, these are my feasts. So the feasts of Israel are not some religious fabrication, a product of men's minds, but was given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. It is a product of the divine mind, given through divine inspiration and recorded as part of the biblical canon. Therefore, every Bible believer, it's incumbent upon every Bible believer, Jew or Gentile, to make a serious study of these feasts and realize that they go beyond mere observance or ritual celebration, but they are prophetic in nature. They are symbolic. They symbolize the coming of Messiah, the two comings from Calvary to the kingdom. And they prophesy those events that would make up these two comings of Messiah. And the present feast before us, Shavuot, or the Feast of Pentecost, is no different, as we have seen so far with this feast and the other feasts that we have already looked at. So let's continue our messianic slash prophetic study of Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost. Last time we left off, we noted that in this feast, God required that Israel, the Jewish people, He required them to offer a new meal offering to the Lord. And this offering was to be two wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah, fine flour, and they were to be baked with leaven. They were to be baked with leaven. Indeed, Leviticus 23:17, the Feast of Israel chapter, states this about the two wave loaves of leaven. The Lord says in this verse, Leviticus 23:17, you shall bring from your dwellings two wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour, they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits of the Lord. So this feast, the Feast of Pentecost, celebrated the summer wheat harvest, whereas the Feast of First Fruits that occurred 49 days before celebrated the spring barley harvest. So both of these feasts were to commemorate the spring and summer harvest and to acknowledge that it was God who gives the increase, who gives food to sustain creation, who is the great provider of all things necessary to our existence. But note here that the Lord required from Israel two wave loaves of leaven. Now remember, up to this point in time in the scripture, leaven was excluded. It was absolutely forbidden and prohibited from being a part of the festival celebrations, particularly with the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and First Fruits. So now we see that leaven is included here. A most surprising inclusion, because prior to this feast, anybody who brought leaven into the three other feasts, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits by extension, those who brought leaven into these three feasts were to be excommunicated. Exodus 12:15, verses 19 and 20, Exodus 31:34, and Exodus 13:3 and 10. So in Exodus 12 alone, verses 15, 19, 20, 31 through 34, just in that chapter alone, it was stated over and over again that those who brought leaven into the Feast of Passover were to be excommunicated. Now, in Leviticus 23, 17, under the celebration of Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost, leaven is to be included. Also, in the regular daily meal offering in the tabernacle and temple, no leaven or honey was permitted. Nothing leaven could be offered with blood sacrifices on the altar of the Lord. The Torah in Leviticus 2 expressly forbids leaven. Now, in our teaching on unleavened bread, we had an extensive analysis and teaching on how that leaven in Scripture is symbolic of evil. Leaven, according to the rabbis, represented Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, or what we Christian teachers and theologians call the sin nature. Leaven stands for the evil inclination of man. And that's critical to remember here when decoding the spiritual symbolism of the two wave loaves of leaven to be weighed before the Lord during the Feast of Pentecost. It's important to remember that meaning here for leaven. So we've seen before how that leaven is a symbol for evil, false doctrine, immoral behavior, or anything that corrupts and badly influences those it comes in contact with. When Jesus called himself the unleavened bread at Passover, broken, his body broken for us, that was certainly apropos because Jesus was sinless. Hence, he is without leaven. He was our perfect and sinless unleavened bread, our meal offering. Yet here in Shavuot, in Leviticus 23:17, the Lord surprisingly, and I may say startlingly, commands the very opposite of what has been said prior in the Torah. Now he says that Israel should make a new meal offering of fine flour mingled with leaven. Now, the question that begs to be asked, of course, is why this inclusion of leaven now? When up to this point, leaven was expressly forbidden in the sacrifices and celebration of the feasts. Why this inclusion now? Is it because, as some facile and shallow-minded people who wish to discredit the Bible say that, well, the Bible just contradicts itself. That's why it's there. Is that true? No. No, it is not. There is no leaven to be seen in Passover. There was no leaven to be seen in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And there was no leaven included in First Fruits. Why now? Why is leaven included in Pentecost? What was the Spirit of God trying to communicate to the people of Israel, and by extension, to we, the church today? As we read this Scripture, remember, every word of Scripture is divinely inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for spiritual maturation. Why then? What is the meaning the Lord is trying to convey here by including leaven, the exact opposite of its prohibition prior to reading Leviticus 23:17 in Torah? So we are going to answer that question. The reason, first and foremost, why the inclusion of leaven is given here is we have to remember that the Feast of Passover adumbrates, prophetically foreshadows and points to the Lord Jesus Christ and His sinless perfections. And we are to fellowship, eat of Him, as symbolized under the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And He will give us life over death, as symbolized in the Feast of First Fruits. So this is Jesus Christ acting on our behalf in these three feasts. Hence, He does so without sin and does so with the work of perfection. There is no leaven, therefore, in these three feasts. However, with Pentecost, Pentecost is a feast that exclusively deals with the redeemed sinners who make up the church, who still have the sin of leaven in their life. And that is the key, beloved, to interpreting the inclusion of leaven in the Feast of Pentecost. It represents the redeemed church on earth who still have a sin nature and therefore, as of yet, have not attained to sinless perfection. And so, only two particular offerings were offered with leaven in them. These being the peace offering, offered with leaven, and the two wave loaves of Shavuot, as given in Leviticus 23:15-22. Now remember, as I mentioned, leaven is a symbol of evil. And it is worth recalling also that the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers at the Church of Corinth and the Church of Galatia that they were to purge out the sinful tendencies and practices of those churches. And he likened those things to leaven. And so when we come to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, being formed from this age, as He calls out an elect body of believers from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, we must remember, until the rapture, from Pentecost until the rapture, those who are saved still have leaven in them. They still struggle and fight with the sin nature. When you get saved in this present life, you are not practically made perfect. Now, you are perfect through the perfect work of Jesus Christ, positionally speaking, but you have not been practically made perfect yet. That will come with the conclusion of the order of salvation, with the resurrection and consequent glorification of the body when Christ comes back for His church. And so we can say then, in light of these things, that leaven in the two wave loaves of Shavuot is God's acknowledgement, His realistic recognition, and the believers that the root of sin has not yet been completely eradicated. It has not yet been purged completely from the believer's life. And even though the believer is been made regenerate and redeemed by the Holy Spirit and is indwelt by Him, he is yet not completely made perfect. And that is why we have, with the coming of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit is the searing work of sanctification to arrest the sinful actions of the believer. And like fire purging gold, the Holy Spirit removes dross from the believer's life so that in the end his faith can be purified and the impurities removed. So we have seen that Pesach, Passover, speaks of Yeshua the Messiah as God's Lamb, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And it also speaks of the believer applying his faith in the shed blood of Jesus for redemption. In unleavened bread, Israel was told to put away leaven for 7 days. And they were to feed on the unleavened bread. Today, the church is to put away all the works of the flesh and mortify mortify the sinful deeds of the mind, and fellowship and feast upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, our unleavened bread. Then we discovered in the Feast of First Fruits that Israel, and now today, the believer in the New Testament church, acknowledges that we will be raised from the dead and will have a perfect body and a perfect nature as we are united in the perfect one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come to Pentecost, the Feast of Shavuot, and here the two wave loaves that are baked with leaven speak of the fact that sin in the believer's life has not been abolished, eradicated, or completely removed. The church is redeemed, yet they still struggle with the sin nature in these mortal bodies. And it is by the indwelling of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that the deeds, the sinful deeds of the flesh, are being mortified. They are being crucified. The believer in Christ, due to his weaknesses and foibles, still, in the present time, yields in perfect service to the Lord. The feast following Shavuot, Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, is the millennial feast, celebrating the arrival of Christ's thousand-year kingdom on earth. That has no leaven in it, because the redeemed church and the Old Testament and tribulation saints will have been raised, and they will have glorified bodies and perfect minds and hearts with those bodies. So that's why leaven is not found in the Feast of Tabernacles, a feast that will find its final fulfillment during the millennial kingdom of Messiah Jesus on earth, when he returns to reign from Jerusalem. And so under the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost, the church receives the Holy Spirit, and through the work of the Spirit is brought to maturity and gradual perfection, vouchsafed first by the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and made complete at the resurrection and translation of the church with the rapture. Beautiful, a beautiful outlay here of how the feasts point to the Messiah and his work among Israel and the church. Now let's look more closely at the requirement of two wave loaves of leaven used in the celebration and worship of the Lord during the Feast of Shavuot. The Lord states there were to be two wave loaves offered to him on the feast day of Pentecost. Therefore, it was a dual offering, both loaves being of the same measure before the Lord. We read this in Leviticus 23:17 through 21. The Lord says to Moses there, "You shall bring from your dwellings two wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord, with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering, and 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord, with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And then after that, they were to proclaim on the same day that this is a holy convocation. God goes on to tell them, you shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. So two loaves were offered on the day of Pentecost. And this is not the first time we encounter dual offerings in the sacrificial laws of the Torah. Two birds were used in the sacrifice and cleansing of the leper, Leviticus 14, 1 through 7. Also, two trumpets of silver were used in the various callings of the camp of Israel, and this was especially done during the Feast of Trumpets. Also, the Ten Commandments were written on two tablets of stone, written by the finger of God. Two goats were required for sacrifice on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16. So when you join one with one, making two, you then have agreement. So two in Scripture is the number of witness, the number of legal or valid testimony. Remember, the Lord Jesus sent the 12 apostles and the 70 disciples out two by two to witness and testify in every city that He came to bring the kingdom of God to Israel. The Lord Himself also said in the Torah that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every testimony must be confirmed, corroborated, and established. Deuteronomy 19:15. When we apply the meaning of dual testimony to the number two with the two wave loaves of Pentecost, we then see that these two loaves symbolize witness and testimony. And just as the two leaven wave loaves symbolize the dual nature that's now resident in the born-again believer in Christ, he has the old nature of sin still remaining, yet he has been given and imparted the new nature, which is after the moral image of Christ. So it is a mixed reality, just as the wave loaves of leaven and flour were a dual reality of the two wave loaves. The two wave loaves then can represent the two natures within the born-again believer, the old nature, leaven, and the new nature after the Lord Jesus Christ, standing for which the flower stands for. So then we have the number two, meaning witness and duality. The number two in Pentecost can also symbolize as well the two ethnic divisions of the world, Jew and Gentile, and the fact that the church is indeed made up of redeemed Jews and Gentiles under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Now remember, it was the priest who was required to wave the two wave loaves of flour and leaven on the day of Pentecost. The priest had to do it. Well, again, this beautifully symbolizes the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for the church made up of two ethnic groups, Jew and Gentile. And so out of these two ethnic divisions, which make up the church under the headship of Christ, the two ethnic divisions of Jew and Gentile, there is formed one new man, which makes up the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both redeemed Jew and Gentile testify then, both testify to the unsaved world about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to save, to redeem, and to regenerate from spiritual death, Ephesians 2:11 through 20, Acts 2 and Acts 10. The number two in Pentecost may also, I believe, be used to symbolize Christ and His church. Christ the High Priest. We, the church, represented by the two loaves in His hands, together declare the same testimony, and that is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but have eternal life. We must be in His hands, under His control and supervision, under His guidance, under His authority and His headship, so that we might be acceptably presented before the Lord, just as the priest held the two wave loaves on the day of Shavuot and waved them before the Lord. Notice here also that these two wave loaves of flour and leaven were measured out to consist of 2/10 ephah of fine flour. Again, what is significant about that? Well, first of all, both loaves were to be of one and the same measure of fine flour, namely 2/10 of an ephah. Now again, the measure of 2/10 of an ephah is found throughout Scripture dealing with Israel. And so this repetition of this measurement tells us that, again, the Holy Spirit has some significant reason why He includes this measurement here. Let us briefly go through this measurement of 2/10. Remember, in Exodus 16, the Lord gave manna from heaven. And when it fell in the wilderness to feed the children of Israel, its measurement was 2/10 of an ephah. And then on the sixth day prior to the Sabbath, God told Israel to gather twice as much to carry them over the Sabbath. So here a precedent is set, and that is that the 2/10 of ephah speak of the double portion, the double blessing. Again, this meaning is seen throughout the Pentateuch. The meal offering presented on the feast day of first fruits was also to be made of 2/10 of fine flour. Remember the barley sheaf that was to be waved before the Lord? Well, its meal offering was to be made of 2/10 of fine flour, Leviticus 23:13. Also, it is significant to note that the 12 loaves of showbread placed on the table, the golden table of showbread, were also to be made of 2/10 ephah of fine flour, Leviticus 24:5-7. Here again we have the meaning of double portion. God gives the double portion of salvation for our soul and health to our body. And this is given in the bread of His presence, as the showbread literally means in the Hebrew. Well, again, I see I'm out of time. Please stand by for the announcer's information at the end of this program. He can tell you how you can contact us, get our free newsletters. And remember, we're taking the gospel back to the Jewish people in Israel, and we desperately need your support. Please pray about supporting us. Until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.